In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Given that we had not a sermon on the feast of St. John the Beloved, the day after the patron of our parish, St. Stephen, I give you a short reflection on this last day before the day before the new year turns. Speak about what it is to be a beloved apostle in Christ. St. John the Evangelist is chiefly and most familiarly known as the disciple whom our Lord loved, the one upon whom his favor especially rested. He was one of the three who always attended to our Lord. He was in the inner group among the inner group of the apostles. He had the privilege of having the most intimate conversations that anybody walking the face of the earth ever had with our Lord. He was often referred to as the bosom friend of Christ, because recall, it was on the Last Supper when the wicked Judas betrayed the Lord, the King of Glory. It was St. John who was known to have rested his head upon the breast of Christ the Lord. Recall that even Peter himself, the first pope, didn't dare to ask our Lord a question of himself. But he turned to St. John and said, "You ask him. You ask him, who is the one who the Lord is referring to that will betray him, that he speaks so much about?" St. John is the private, intimate friend of our Lord Jesus the Christ. And again, remember the privileged place that St. John, the beloved disciple, had with our Lord, because it was to him and to no other that he committed his own mother when he was dying there upon the cross. It was to St. John that he revealed in a vision after his departure all the fortunes of his church, which we have in the final book of the New Testament, the book of the Apocalypse of St. John. And what is the one thing which captivated St. John for the whole of his life? One message which he proclaimed day and night to his apostles wherever he went, throughout whatever sufferings and toils he endured during the rest of the sojourn of his life after the Lord's ascension into heaven. We know from the writings of the saints that St. John was so weak at the end of his life in his exile after his persecutors having failed to give him the martyr's crown. He would repeat one single sermon day after day to his apostles. You recall his words? He said, "Brethren, I tell you, love one another." Day after day, he would preach this single sermon and then be carried back to his private place of prayer within the cave. And he'd come back each and every day to preach that sermon, the same one to his apostles, rather to his disciples, saying, "Brethren, love one another." It did not take long for his disciples to show their impetuosity, as did the original 12 of the Lord, where they turned to him and said, "Master, why is it that you give such short sermons now here in your old age? And why is it that you repeat the same thing to us day after day?" And so St. John gave that day a longer sermon than normal, where he said, "Brethren, I tell you, love one another. For if you fulfill this, you fulfill all that is required." Love one another. When you read the writings of St. John, his letters, that's all he says, over and over again, waxing eloquently upon the love of God first and the love of neighbor. Love is the one thing which motivated this beloved disciple of the Lord, for he was converted by love himself. He writes in 1 John 4:7, 12, and 16, saying, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God. If we love another, then God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him." How did St. John seek to live out this love? Did he seek to do it in the grandest, most broad scales as possible? Did he set out at the very first moment of the Lord's ascension and shoot off to the other parts of the world, converting them? No, he did not. He had the unspeakable privilege, as we had already spoken about, of being first the friend of Christ. And so this is what he taught others to do. First, his affection was concentrated, and only later was it expanded to something greater. He first began loving Christ himself, which was the whole time he spent with the Lord until his ascension. And then next, as we had already spoken, that he had the comfortable and most, the highest charge of tending to the Lord's mother, the Blessed Virgin, after the Lord's departure. Here is where we can begin to see where the secret sources of his special love for his brethren come from. Think about it. Could he who was first favored with a Savior's affection, then trusted with the office towards the mother of the same Lord, could he be other than a memorial of the pattern, as far as any human being possibly could be, of what love is? That it is first deep, then contemplative, then fervent, that it is unruffled or distracted, and finally unbounded. So too must be the love that we carry forth as disciples placed in the place of the Beloved One. If we see that we lack love in this time, which is so full of hatred, not merely in the world, but even within the Church of God, we can always seek it. And we can always find it in the very same place which St. John found the same. He sought it first and found it most in the Lord himself. He tasted it and drank it deep in the portion which was his, which is the Eucharist. And it is there where it is nourished within our souls. If we lack love for any creature on this earth, we find it in he who is higher than the highest of all creatures, who took on our creatureliness so that we might take on his divinity, which is to say, his most supreme aspect, which is love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.